Shumpert tried to go into the Blazers locker room and start a fight.
Say something about the Kingsguard.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Yeah, I heard Kingsguard. What were you saying about it?
Well, I mean, do you want the spoiler or?
No.
Yeah.
No spoiler.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
Said I watched some wrestling. I watched a couple episodes of Game of Thrones. I was talking about the Kingsguard and.
I don't know, I heard Kingsguard and it made me think of Game of Thrones. What were you talking about?
When Jon Snow died.
Ah! Stop!
On 1340 WKGN.
Every time you're not paying attention, I come back with a Game of Thrones spoiler.
What kind of person spoils things for people who are in the middle of a season? It's like the most inhumane thing you can do as a person.
As a radio professional, the rudest thing you can do is not pay attention.
You said Kingsguard.
Yes, Kingsguard, Amon Shumpert.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the Sacramento Kings.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Red Sox legend David Ortiz is still recovering following a third operation after he was shot in the Dominican Republic. Ortiz has spent the last month in a Boston hospital. Big Poppy's still not out of that hospital.
Wow.
Tiffany Ortiz yesterday released a statement. Or the Red Sox actually released the statement on behalf of Tiffany Ortiz. Earlier this week, David underwent a third surgery for complications resulting from his gunshot wound. The operation was performed by Dr. David King at Massachusetts General Hospital. David is recovering well and is in good spirits. That is David Ortiz, not David King, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
David Ortiz is the one recovering. A bit confusing there. He is in good spirits. We continue to be incredibly appreciative of the kindness and compassion shown to David and to our entire family during this most difficult time. Big Poppy's still in the hospital. I guess he's getting better.
I don't know if he's getting better if he's still in the hospital and he just had to have another surgery. I think he's stable and not dying. You know, he was in critical condition after the shooting, but he's not. Not dead, so he hasn't gotten worse. But, I mean, that third surgery after complications is kind of scary. That's been a long time. That's been, like you said, over a month, right?
Yeah, it's been over a month now. A police department in Texas posted a photo of its officers standing guard in a supermarket's frozen dessert section. Following the viral video challenges going around of people licking the ice cream and putting it back in the freezer.
I'm so sick of this.
It's ridiculous. Police in Keller, Texas are guarding the ice cream aisle of, I guess it's the same one where a woman licked a tub of Bluebell ice cream and put it back on the shelf. This is the next viral social media challenge, and now people are starting to get arrested for it.
Did you know Bluebell ended up killing some people years ago?
So probably not the company you want to mess with?
Well, I don't think they like put a hit out on them. I think just people died. Like, tainted ice cream killed three people.
Oh, well, that happened.
This wasn't that long ago. This was 2015, so like Bluebell survived.
Bluebell tastes just like the good old days. Isn't that their thing?
I don't know. I've always been a Mayfield's man.
Maybe that's why they killed people.
No, they killed people because they had Listeria.
Listeria?
Listeria.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a disease or too many germs, basically, an outbreak.
Uh-huh.
Killed three people, put seven other in the hospital. And they survived that. They were able to not close down or lose their business. And here they are 4 years later having to deal with people licking their ice cream.
I mean,
I'm running Bluebell, I'm like, what the hell? We finally figured this out. And if I'm Bluebell, I am trying to get this woman, this girl, thrown in jail for many years.
She's facing 2 to 20, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's not going to do that kind of time.
She's not going to get it. She's going to get probation.
Right.
Maybe they'll make her do a month or something, but they should make an example out of them. Because like I said, when you start tampering with the groceries, that's when we lose ourselves as society.
Well, dude, yesterday there was another video of a guy spitting into.
That was disgusting.
That was.
He needs to go to jail too. They need to put them in the same place together, separate cells, just close enough where they can look at each other, no physical contact, and they just sit in jail together for 10 years. Five years. That's the number I want you to get. 5 years. Think about what you've done. You want to make food nasty? Here, enjoy jail food for 5 years. That'll teach you.
Oh, this is not. Oh, man. There's a picture of the cops guarding the ice cream.
It's
and you know what someone said? No, it's a real story. It's from Fox 4 News in Texas. Someone said, I bet they're only protecting the vanilla ice cream. Wow. Twitter, man.
For some reason, Cam thinks that one's people, really funny.
People on Twitter, man. Ridiculous. Anyway, I saw one guy. He apparently, some people are starting to open their ice cream from the bottom now because they're so worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
The people licking it, so they're opening the bottom.
I'm just not going to buy ice cream anytime soon.
Until this passes?
Yeah, I'm done with ice cream. No thanks.
It's a weird beep going off in the studio.
That's what I think these people should get. 5 years.
5 years hard prison time?
I mean, you don't have to put them in like a really scary prison, but put them somewhere where they have to sit. You can go to jail for 5 years, right?
They have to sit and think about what they've done?
Yeah, like jail. Put them in jail, not prison. Jail.
Get these people rehabilitated?
Really just punish them?
Could stone them.
Make an example out of them that way no one else is like, they just got probation, not a big deal. I can go viral and be famous and all I'll get's probation. No, it doesn't work that way. 5 years in jail. 5 years. Make them think about what they did, Cody. Make them enjoy bad food. We shouldn't have to go to the grocery store and be worried that somebody's been laying on the cucumbers and doing gross things with the zucchini.
How about this? How about you?
I can't even imagine trying to buy an eggplant right now.
Eggplants are pretty big. I'm thinking more like a zucchini. Or cucumbers. Eggplant's pretty good size. I've seen
either,
an eggplant.
Either way, we should be allowed to have confidence when we go into the produce section or we try to get a tasty treat such as ice cream.
That's why you always wash your vegetables, for one thing.
Yeah?
When you get them home, you want to wash your vegetables.
Some stuff doesn't wash off.
Hell. Especially if it's an eggplant. Think about how... Anyway. What was I going to say? Oh, I had a good idea. What if you just put them on house arrest for 5 years, but every time they eat...
No.
Hear me out. Every time they eat...
You're letting them off too easy.
Somebody comes over and spits... on every part of their food. So they're only on house arrest, but they can't leave the house, and they have to watch as a guy comes over and just hacks one up right in their food every time they eat dinner.
I mean,
that would teach them a lesson.
The punishment fits the crime, but that I have to go back to the saying that was instilled upon me from a young child. Two wrongs don't make a right.
No, but they get you
this
even.
This is about human decency. Like, no one should be degraded so much where they have to eat that stuff. So I just... jail time. Don't get me wrong, though. It's poetic. The punishment would fit the crime. Eye for an eye, biblical and all that, but... I just don't want anybody spitting on anybody's food.
How did two wrongs become a right? How did that become the thing when the Bible says an eye for an eye?
That was the Old Testament.
Well.
In the New Testament, we learned to turn the other cheek.
Well, some would argue the Old Testament got things done a little easier.
Some would.
Joe Pesci reads the Old Testament.
Some would.
Joe Pesci was trending yesterday because of that short guy, the bagel guy that you were watching that video of. Joe Pesci was trending, and I was really upset when I first saw Joe Pesci trending. I was like, oh, no.
You thought he was dead?
Oh, no. Yeah, turns out he's okay. Who has it worse? The girl that's going to do, if she does jail time for licking the ice cream, or that short guy who hates women because they don't like him on the dating apps?
Look, if you're short, you're short, right? There's nothing you can do about it.
That's true. There's not.
I don't think it's nice to make fun of people for being short. There's nothing they can do about it.
No.
But I will say that guy has to learn to not take himself so seriously. Like, he can be short and he has to turn the other cheek when people make fun of him. I get it. Like, he probably is really sick of going on Tinder, going on Bumble or whatever, and trying to find women, only to be told he's too short. I'm sure he gets really nervous every time he meets somebody from online, right? Where he meets somebody like, hey, you want to meet up and get coffee? And they haven't talked about his height. I'm sure he gets really nervous the first time he walks up to them, thinking, are they going to judge me? Are they going to say, wow, you're really short? That's got to suck. I understand that.
So,
but you can't be going crazy in the bagel shop like he did.
You've never made fun of someone for their height? That's what you said? You don't do that?
I mean, Ben, this guy's like 5'2". I mean, this guy.
When have I made fun of you? I called you Spalding. What did I say about you being short? That's Cody. Don't project Cody onto me.
No, you guys have both.
What'd I say?
One time you called me like 5'3 or 5'4.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with being 5'3 or 5'4. What?
It felt detrimental to myself because I'm not 5'3 or 5'4.
That's on you, bagel boy.
Come on. Ben is not so short that he can't get women, though. Ben's an average height. Like, he's
Have to be tall to get women. You might have to be
tall. Yeah, you do.
No.
Well, you got to be of a decent height.
No, you
can't
don't.
Be that guy.
No.
You can't be bagel guy.
Yes, you can.
I don't think so.
You might not be able to be online dating and be bagel guy.
You might just have to date girls that are like 4'10".
You might just have to go out and meet them in person. That way, hey, they see the whole package and you can win them over with your charm. The problem is,
a guy like that can't win a good-looking woman over.
Well, maybe he has to lower his standards. Maybe he shouldn't go for a good looking woman.
Literally.
Maybe he should go someone for who's just...
Because she's not going to lower hers.
Maybe he should just go for someone who's nice he can have a conversation with.
Well, he's clearly not that guy.
That's where the frustration probably comes from, is Bagel Guy doesn't want to realize that Bagel Guy's not a catch. And I'm not going to say it's because he's short. I'm going to say it because he's a jerk.
He looked like a real jerk in that video.
He does not seem like a pleasant person.
You're not God, you're not my father, and you're not my boss. Cam says everybody's the same height on their back.
You can't be faking people out. I will say that Bagel Guy's probably having a really hard time online dating. It's a lot easier to be judgmental and shallow online dating. Because you're like, it's a buffet line. It's a menu item. You just keep swiping. And you're like, oh, I like him. Oh, nope, too short.
Yeah.
You go out in person, you charm somebody, you win them over the old-fashioned way.
That's how you got
to
do
it. Of them not having enough options to find somebody else. Online, they have unlimited options. At the bar, at the library, there might not be that many people there. You talk to them, maybe they'll like you.
I don't know, though, man. Because if you're like 5'2 as a guy... I would feel bad for that guy, because even a guy like me can get the job done with personality. You know what I mean?
You can get the job done with personality if you're 5'2". You can.
I don't know if you can.
You can.
I don't know if you can.
You just have to have a good personality.
I think that a very beautiful woman is more likely to hook up with a fat guy than she is a guy who's 5'2". I think that might be impossible to come back from if you're that guy's height.
Well, this guy, it's impossible for him to come back from melting down in the bagel shop. Like, he's done for. And like I said,
he's gonna have to change his appearance or something. Like, I'm not that guy.
He's gonna have to become a nice person, is what he's gonna have to do.
Maybe he doesn't want to be a nice person. He could probably get a movie role, you know? He could probably get an acting role now. Like,
I hope not. I hope we don't reward him for being a jerk. And I mean, yelling at everybody, like, I hope he doesn't get rewarded with the movie role. I'm sure we will turn him into the new Cash Me Outside girl.
He could be that guy
Bad
from
Bobby.
He could be like one of the
Bobby. You shook your head no. I'm making sure I didn't mess up, because sometimes I was confused.
No, I was shaking my head no, because I think that's so dumb that she got famous because
she can rap, though. She can rap. She can.
Ooh, Catch Me Outside Girl?
Yeah, she's not bad.
She's got a couple good songs.
Yeah, I mean, she
can
rap.
It's really sad because that first episode with Dr. Phil, if you actually watch the whole thing, like, her mom could not handle her. Her mom
was
like...
She was the Cartman come to life.
Yeah, her mom
whatever,
was...
Whatever, I do what I want.
Her mom was devastated.
You ain't bad. I smoked 4 cigarettes this week.
And
whatever. I do what I want.
But now, you know, her mom's benefiting from it now.
Oh, yeah.
She's making big time cash now.
I don't know if her mom's making any money. She's surely got to be close to 18 by now, right?
She was like 14 in that video.
She's been around for a while.
It's probably been like 2
years.
It's
not Bobby. That's why I always mess up. I always think it's Barbie, but it's Baby.
It's Baby.
I always confuse. I always call her Bad Bobby.
She puts an H in it.
Well, because, yeah.
Well, I know, but I always think there's an R there, too. I always think it's Bad Bobby.
She was like 13 or 14 when that came out, and I'd say it's been like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
She's only 16. You're right.
It is ridiculous. We made that girl famous.
She looks a lot older in her videos.
Does she?
Oh, God. NASA's gonna break. All right, let's do our Tennessee topic of the day. Thought it was funny last night seeing so many people get duped by the 2016 Colin Cowherd clip going around. You see it?
I didn't get duped for a second. I think if you got duped by that, you had to have a little... Well, I don't want to say anything mean because I think we had some friends that were duped. But you shouldn't have gotten duped by that. I remember watching that clip in 2016.
I mean, and all you had to do was watch the clip.
And notice how it was cut out?
No, just like the quote underneath the clip was talking about Jeremy Pruitt, and as if it was a quote that included Jeremy Pruitt in it, and in the clip, never mentioned Jeremy Pruitt. It was funny like how close it mirrored, I mean, like the way you were kind of able to easily like gloss over it, like, you know, got a returning quarterback coming in. Josh Dobbs.
You should have known when he said he likes Tennessee for the playoff.
Yeah, that should have been the real red flag. Like, wait a second.
He's like, call me crazy.
And
I think Tennessee beats Alabama.
And it was when Colin Cowherd first went like back to first went to Fox Sports 1 and started dyeing his hair again.
Mm-hmm.
And he had dark hair. But now he's like realized, hey, I wasn't really fooling anybody, and it's gone back to like the full gray, which I think he looks better as a full gray guy. He looked weird when he had dark hair. Ben, you got the clip ready. It is funny though, like if you squint your ears and just kind of barely open your eyes, you can convince yourself it's talking about the 2019 football team. But here was the clip going around yesterday that fooled so many people.
Alabama does not make the Final Four playoff. Schedule? Really, really tough. The toughest schedule Nick Saban has ever had.
Number 4.
My surprise team in the country is Tennessee. Schedule easy early and easy late. Between workable schedule, returning starting quarterback, momentum and returning starters, Tennessee will play in the Final Four.
I mean, like, if you hear there, returning quarterback, easy schedule to start with, easy schedule to end with, that's not wrong. If you look at the 2019 season, right?
The schedule's kind of the same everywhere where it's easy on the front end and the back end and hard in the middle.
It's not even that hard in the middle this year. I mean, compared to 2016.
Our schedule's usually like a hard-boiled egg. Soft on either side, hard in the middle.
I mean, not always. You played West Virginia last year at the very beginning. That was a pretty tough game.
But for the most part.
Next year you play Oklahoma first thing in the season.
But for the most part, you're at least getting 3 out of 4 non-conferences or, you know, a couple of trash teams in there. It's going to change next year as Georgia moves, flipping Georgia and Missouri.
Right.
Which I think that's cool. I like seeing it mixed up a bit. If I had not remembered that quote from 2016, because I remember Cowherd saying that. I think I was watching live when he said that.
Well, I remember it going around.
Yeah, I remembered it very well. If I had not remembered it, maybe it wouldn't be that crazy to think someone could get duped. because he does say some kind of, you know, off the wall stuff.
Maybe if he just would have said just beating Alabama and that Alabama was missing the Final Four, it was the whole make the playoff thing, like you said, that should have raised some red flags.
Yeah.
Listening to that, though, A, like I thought, like, wow, okay, there's some similarities here in terms of returning quarterback, an easy schedule. But then I really just got sad again thinking about 2016.
That's what it did for me, too. It took me back to 2016.
And it made me sad. Did it make you sad?
Yeah. A little bit.
Made me sad.
Because it took me back to, you know, I remembered the quote, and I remembered going into that season. Some people even thought we were a national championship contender that year. Which, it turns out, we weren't.
I mean, you could have been, I guess.
You would have had to have beaten Alabama at home, and you lost 49-10.
Or just beaten Texas A&M.
But that game probably still wouldn't have been that different, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying you could have gotten there with one loss. And
if we had beaten A&M, I wonder if the Alabama game, if the score would have been a little better.
Who knows? Probably not.
That would have been even more of a heartbreaker.
But listening to that just made me sad. Just bummed me out.
We exhausted a lot of resources in that A&M game.
Is that what officially broke us as a fan base?
The Alabama game?
No, just the end of the 2016 season. Like, have we bounced back as a fan base?
No. No. We have not bounced back since that. Since the Vanderbilt loss. In 2016.
Is that when, like, you officially died?
A little bit. We bounced back in 2017, but it wasn't for the right reasons. It was because we knew we had to get Butch out of here. We bounced back with passion is what I mean, but we weren't interested in the football.
I disagree. I think people were excited for the Georgia Tech game. I remember being excited to check out the stadium, but you had people all that offseason calling in talking about how, well, actually, Tennessee is going to be better than they were last year because, you know, Quentin Dormany can throw the football. We have a real actual passer now.
I mean, we kind of talked ourselves into it, but it was like...
We don't say we.
What?
Anyways, keep going. Sorry.
You were ready for week one, weren't you?
I mean, I was excited to check out the stadium, but no, I did not think we were going to be good that year.
It was... I mean, it still didn't have the same feeling as 2016, though. I mean, nothing's been the same since then.
Are we bounced back now, do you feel?
It's getting close. It's taken 3 years, but it's getting close.
What's it going to take to get people officially back?
I mean, I was there at the start of last season, too, you know, getting ready to go play West Virginia.
I'm not even talking about just being excited, you know, for football, because I think we're all, you know, look, Cody, look what's on TV tonight, man. You got one baseball game tonight, the Astros and Rangers. I don't know if it's a makeup game or if they're just trying to do a showcase after the All-Star game or what, but you got one baseball game and you got more NBA Summer League.
Yeah, this is why this time of the year it's good to just go relax, you know, go sit by the pool, don't worry about sports.
In a couple weeks, you won't even have the Summer League.
You'll just have baseball.
So, yeah, by August you're going to be –
and SEC Media Days.
Ready to go.
Which, again, Media Days. I had a friend last night asking me if I was going to be there. I told him, no, we're just sending one guy. It's next week in Hoover.
You should have taken some initiative.
I was ready to go.
You should have took some initiative and set up the trip. Reached out to the boss man and said you wanted to go.
Got radio friends in other states expecting me to be there.
You should have got the wheels in motion. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why you're acting mad at me or mad at anybody else. It's your own damn fault.
I'm not mad at you.
It's time you take some accountability.
I'm not mad at you. You asked me if I wanted to go. I said yes.
You would be down to go. Yes,
and
I did.
And then you act like I just gave a half-hearted answer. I said, yeah, sounds good.
You said
I don't know what you wanted me to say.
Believe it was that sounds like it could be fun.
That is not what I said. I have never replied, that sounds like it could be fun. It was probably like, yeah, that would be fun, or that would be good, or something. I don't know what it was.
He says, that sounds like a good time.
Right. Yeah, it's a great answer. It sounds like a great time.
You could have got the ball rolling on it, you know.
I could still go with Trey. But I couldn't get in, could I? And I'd be with Trey all week. I have radio friends in other states. They wanted to see us there.
Tell your radio friends next year to remind you in late June so that you can put the wheels in motion.
We are well respected in other states. Did you know this?
That's good to hear.
There are people around the SEC that wanted to see us there.
Nice.
As in you and me.
Wow.
Us.
We should have went. You let me down.
I never heard anything else about it.
What's it going to take to actually get you back excited about Tennessee football?
I think I'm here.
Let's talk about it next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. What? All right, Cody, what would it take? What would it take to get you truly excited for Tennessee football? Is getting closer to football season and just seeing your second favorite college football team run out of the tee? And even though it may not be as good as singing Dixieland Delight with the boys in between the quarters, what would it take to get you, noted Alabama fan Cody McClure, excited about your second favorite team, the Tennessee Vols? Your alma mater.
Well, I'm more excited right now than I have been the last 2 years. 2016 was the epitome of excitement for me. Plus, I mean, that was just a time, you know, when you beat Florida and Georgia. I mean, it was just amazing, that run that we had. And I was drinking a lot, had a lot of friends still here at the time. They've all gone now. Last 2 years have not been exciting. I'm the most excited this year, I'd say 2-1 going into a season, than I was in 17 or 18.
Okay, so you're twice as excited this year than 17 and 18.
But to get me back to true euphoria, it would take a win in the swamp.
Okay, see, that's kind of where I'm at, because, like I said, we're all going to see football and be like, oh my God, thank God. Now the top 10 plays on SportsCenter will no longer be diving baseball catches.
Right.
We've seen them all. Or at least a variation of all of them. There are very few things I see that I'm like, wow, haven't seen that before when it comes to baseball plays.
Yes.
So, yes, we will be desperate. Wow, no more NFL preseason. Thank God. Now those guys can go back to UPS. So we'll all be ready for Tennessee football when it comes. Where are we at on the countdown, by the way, Ben? Do you know? You don't know? Sorry.
I hate countdowns.
I just put you on the spot. It's like 50 days, basically.
I hate those.
What's kickoff? August 31st? Is that the kickoff?
Yes.
Is that wrong?
It's the 31st. That's when we play Georgia State.
It's the 31st?
Mm-hmm.
So we're roughly 50 days away. Today's the 11th, right?
Right.
31.
I'll be heading up to California here pretty soon.
So when I ask you what it would truly take to get you excited, You say when in the swamp.
To get me to the level of, yeah, like real excitement.
Okay.
It would take a win at Florida. Because even beating BYU, even if we like hammer BYU, you're still just beating BYU. You know what I mean? It's not like you've done anything special by beating BYU. But if you beat Florida at the time, Florida's going to come in probably as a top 10 team. So if you beat that team, it's a top 10 team, it's your rival, it's on the road, and it's the team that you never beat. It would be very special to go down and win in the swamp in week four.
Ben, what would it take to get you excited about Tennessee football? Which, by the way, we don't usually do this, but we'll open up the phone lines if anybody wants to weigh in on this, just if you want to.
Just like as in no like pressure. The whole season in general? Or
865-546-8200.
I like taking phone calls if they're from people that are good on the phone. I told Big Josh yesterday he should start calling us.
Big Josh can call anytime. Nothing makes me as happy as when he says, "Hey, Reed."
I'd love to hear from Big Josh or anyone else who I think is a good caller. There's just some people that are just not good callers.
That's the problem. You don't get to pick.
Yeah, you do. If it's someone you don't like, we can just hang up.
Keep moving. Ben.
All right, Ben. Ben's getting a call. Ben, if you don't like this person, hang up on him.
I'm torn right now.
Okay, you go for it.
Ben, see who it is.
This is all up to you, Ben. So, a win over Florida. Cam, do you have an answer? Where are you at right now on a scale of 1 to 10? Excitement.
For this
year? Yeah, for this year.
Like a 5?
We got D'Arval on the line.
I like D'Arval.
He seems pleasant.
D'Arval.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. I'm with Cody. I mean, I'm excited. I'm coming to the BYU game.
Okay.
To really, really get back to 2016, it's going to have to be a win in the swamp. You know, my real fandom started probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, so I'd never seen us beat Florida. And then 2016, they come out and start kicking our teeth in. So I start drinking heavily and black out and never saw the end.
Oh, aren't you a medical doctor?
No.
Oh, I thought... Initials.
You thought the DR stood for doctor?
Yeah.
You thought he was Dr. Vol?
Yeah, I did. That's what I thought. That's how I always read it.
No, I just do CAT scans. I'm not a doctor.
Oh, okay. So you are in the medical profession?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
So you're close,
Cody. I was kind of right.
I'll give you partial credit.
He doesn't have his doctorate, but he's around doctors.
Yeah. Do all the work for them. So, yeah, it's going to have to be a win in the swamp. I'm with y'all on this.
Okay. I don't know if that's my answer. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, that would give us a real shot in the arm like we haven't had in a while. Right? I mean, just to me, I think almost the answer is just being in the game.
Yeah.
I think that would do something for me just to be in the game at halftime. Like, say Tennessee went into that game, like, up 7 at halftime. That would be a pretty cool 30 minutes.
But then that's just a huge letdown.
Well,
you come out feeling sick if that's the scenario.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe I'm just saying that's the answer because I want a different answer than you two, but
I think that's what it is.
Maybe that's the right answer. Anything else, D'Arval?
Nah, I'm like y'all, though. You got to hang in it. I went to the Vanderbilt game last year, and I just wanted to jump off the roof of the highest building closest to me. That just really got me out of it until, you know, and then basketball, and now that's depressing. So, yeah, we're going to have to win in the swamp for me. But that's all I got, guys.
Appreciate the phone call.
See you, Doc. He's not really a dog, but kind of. Good call, by the way.
I feel like people are ready for the season. Right? Like, I feel like people are ready for the season. I think people are ready to watch football. Maybe this whole premise is wrong and people are already excited. I don't know. But there is something missing. Like hearing Colin Cowherd talk about the 2016 season while tricking people into thinking it was the 2019 season did like trigger some memories. Like, I was counting down the days in 2016, right?
Mm-hmm. We all were.
You couldn't wait to see that. And now, like, ask me if I'm ready to watch football. Yeah, I would like to watch football.
I'll never forget that Friday after Appalachian State where we were all asking ourselves, Are we sure? Is it going to be okay? And then it, you know, once we beat down Virginia Tech, at that point I was back on. I was like, oh, yeah, we're good. We're good. And then came the Ohio game, and that was kind of, you know.
Phil tweets in, says it's as simple as just seeing Saturday, August 31st on his lock screen on his phone. Says that's his answer.
For me, it's going to be have to be Saturday, September 7th. That's really when the season starts for me. I hate these games against – I mean, the home opener, it's cool. We'll get to see the team play, but those games just do nothing for you. You know, a game like against a team like Georgia State, they just don't do anything for you. If it was Georgia Southern, it would be a little better. But we're going to – I mean, we're going to hammer that team. You know, it's going to be a 45-7 game, and then it's over.
We got Zach on the line now.
Okay. Zach, welcome to the show. The floor is yours.
So I'm pretty excited for this season, mostly curious more than anything, just to see what we'll look like.
Yeah.
See if we have a off-season of strength and conditioning, Jim Chaney's offense, see if that looks a little bit better. But I think the one thing that will get me back, and this might be fool's gold for only a week, but if we somehow manage to just beat the hell out of BYU by more than three touchdowns, I think that would bring the froth back to the fan base, if you will. Of course, that could be a 2011 Cincinnati situation where the very next week you're down to Florida and your best player tears his ACL and they beat the hell out of you. But, you know, we'll get there when we get there.
That's a good point by you, Zach. All right, so say you come out, you dominate BYU. Then that Florida week, all of a sudden you are got like the pit of the stomach nerves going, right, where you're counting down the days and you really think you're going to win, but then you get that big fight feeling. Is that what you're saying?
You get that big fight feeling. You get that so Monday you're feeling good. Monday you think you're going to beat the hell out of them. You're still on that high from the weekend. Maybe Wednesday you come down a little bit. Wednesday you get a bad pit in your stomach. By Friday you're back again.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe Saturday, about an hour before kickoff, you start getting that dread, that familiar pre-Florida dread. I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you don't dominate BYU, that you're going to have that dread in your stomach the whole week. I think you're right in the sense that to get the true excitement going, you have to show well against BYU.
If you beat BYU by three, that whole week is going to feel like you're on death row. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Good point by you, Zach. Appreciate the phone call.
Yep.
Let's catch a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll keep talking about this. Cam, you got your NASCAR preview? We'll hit that at some point over the last hour. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, TK writes in that everyone's talking about winning at the Swamp, but he thinks taking down Georgia in the East would have everybody – taking down the big dog in the East, Georgia, would have everybody back.
Well, yeah.
I think Florida before that would obviously do the trick.
I think,
although, like, I got to be consistent. My New Year's resolution when it came to sports was not putting emphasis on the Florida game.
Which would be bigger? You've beaten Georgia twice in the last 5 years. Granted, it wasn't the Georgia that is Georgia now. And Georgia is viewed as a national championship contender. But a top 10 Florida on the road.
Are you asking me which one I would rather win? Say you only get one. What's bigger? Just one, right?
Yeah.
So, like, say, let's just remove from the equation beating Florida would maybe set you up to beat Georgia, right? You're going to lose to Georgia if you pick Florida, right?
Right.
And you're losing to Florida if you pick Georgia.
Right.
I pick Georgia.
Georgia's the better team.
I want a big home win. We haven't had one of those in a really, really long time.
I really like beating Florida, though. There's just something satisfying about beating Florida.
I don't know if beating Georgia would knock them out of the playoff, but I think it'd be a bigger win. You're at home. It's Georgia, a team that like is like nationally that makes more of a ripple, right?
It
Tennessee
does.
Beating
yeah.
Georgia, you get the Jim Chaney revenge game. You show Cade Mays, hey buddy.
Well,
sorry about it.
And that's very true. That is very true. And the fact that you mentioned
they're just so damn cocky now.
They are.
They're so damn cocky now.
And Kirby is very unlikable, whereas Dan Mullen.
You say Kirby's likable?
I said he's unlikable.
Unlikable.
I think Kirby's more unlikable than Dan Mullen.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that.
I do. I told you I wanted Dan Mullen as our coach.
I mean, I understand that. You can say you respect Dan Mullen. I don't disagree with that. But I feel like Dan's more unlikable than Kirby.
Because of the
what's
pictures.
Kirby? What's Kirby done that made you dislike
his,
him?
His hair.
His hair is very stupid. It looks like he gets it cut at Walmart.
His visor thing.
The visor's pretty stupid.
I don't like guys that wear visors.
Does Dan Mullen wear a visor?
I've made that pretty
like
clear.
Does he not wear a visor?
He does, yeah. But
Lane Kiffin wears a visor.
You love Lane Kiffin.
Okay, so forget the visor. Kirby just seems unlikable. He had the whole thing last year with the what was it? You remember when they were getting ready to play in the championship and he did something I didn't like. I can't remember what it was, but he did something I didn't like.
I mean, Kirby's last year in the SEC championship.
Something to do with the way they were practicing.
Oh, I remember after the SEC championship, he was complaining about how no one wants them to make the playoff and how, trust me, Bama doesn't want to see us in the playoff. And
yeah, there was
trying
that.
To talk people into putting them in the playoff, and you're like, hey, bro, you're not getting in.
I just don't like him at all.
I don't really like Dan Mullen either. Dan Mullen's weird. Dan Mullen took credit for starting the Egg Bowl. Like, he took credit for making Mississippi versus Mississippi State a rivalry.
I always thought Mullen was kind of likable at Mississippi State. I don't like him now that he's at Florida. But he did the whole thing with Cousin Eddie and the, you know. He tries to be hip with the kids, and he's really not, but he tries. Kind of like Butch did, except he's a better coach than Butch.
Right. So do we like that quality about
Butch?
Because I feel like Butch trying to be a kid didn't.
If Butch
didn't
had been
appeal
a,
to me,
if Butch had been a good coach,
I'll be honest,
we would have been all over it.
Seeing Dan Mullen run around in his Air Jordans makes me mad every time I see him.
But if Butch had been a good coach and he had actually won something and he was still here, we'd be all for it.
I don't think so.
Yes, we would. We just hate him because he was a loser.
I think he was a loser because we hated him and because he did.
I think him being a loser made us hate him. It's like the chicken and the egg. Was he a loser first and that's why we hated him? Or did we start hating him and then he just becomes a loser?
Nah, it's yours. It's yours. But you could say that he was a loser because he did those things. Because he acted like a kid. You could say that.
Maybe so, but I don't think Dan Mullen's a loser.
Either way, I don't dislike Kirby Smart more than Dan Mullen. I dislike Dan Mullen more.
Well, I disagree with that.
Either way. So you're taking Florida as the bigger game? Potentially a bigger win?
Well, here's another thing. If we beat Georgia, I'll probably be at the Georgia game. I'm guessing one way or another this year I'm probably going to end up at that Georgia game.
Yeah, you can't help yourself.
Which means that
we know you want to be there for the atmosphere and the band and the ambiance.
Or if we win the damn thing. Fear of missing out.
Opportunity.
I call it the fear of missing out. So if, you know, if we do beat Georgia, I would be there. So that kind of makes me lean towards Georgia now. But assuming I'm not going to either game, I'd pick Florida. It'll always mean more to me to beat Florida.
I think I'm going with Georgia. Because of the caveat that I put in there about how, you know, beating Florida means you lose to Georgia. Beating Georgia doesn't mean that you can't parlay that into a huge atmosphere and a win over Mississippi State. And really jump-starting the back half of your season. If you beat Florida and then waste it by getting pounded by Georgia and Alabama, I think beating I think finally,
I don't think you're wasting it.
I think finally getting to celebrate a big win inside of Knoxville is so important.
I don't think you're wasting it if you lose to Georgia and Alabama, though.
We haven't gotten to do that since 2016.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, I don't know.
And we beat Florida.
I don't know if you people partied and celebrated whenever Tennessee beat Kentucky last year.
No. You people? What does that mean?
Just you people.
You people. You say that as in like...
I don't mean if you guys. Does you guys work better? You guys and girls? Like, what does that work
when you
better?
Say you people, it kind of sounds like you people that actually went to the Kentucky game.
No, I mean, I wasn't in town.
As in like...
I wasn't in Knoxville.
You wouldn't think it was cool to go to the Kentucky game.
I was in Chattanooga.
Did they have a big home game or...
No, my friend had a birthday party.
Oh. I don't know. When you say you people, it kind of makes me think, you know, you're kind of like... saying you wouldn't go to the Kentucky game because, you know, boring.
No, no. But, I mean, I'm not going to criticize people for going to watch Tennessee try to beat a top 20 team, top 15 team or whatever. Like, no, we need people like you to go there and spend your money to watch.
See, there you did it again. You did it again. This time you said people like you instead of you people. But it's almost like you're kind of condescending as in like.
Absolutely not. I think that.
Is that not kind of how it sounded?
I think that you need to be the ones to make that march and put on the good face.
You need to be the ones that. So, like, you're.
Put on a brave face and go help lead us to victory.
Because some other people are above it?
I was out of town.
Oh, okay.
We're going to need you this year, too, against Georgia. Go line up and
gonna need me.
Get on the front lines. We need people like you on the front lines against Georgia this year,
see,
too.
Now you're just making it obvious. Yeah, now you're just making it obvious what you meant.
No, just get up there. And
it's pretty clear what you meant.
Get on the front lines, man. Be the Dothraki. Charging into the night.
I would never go to a game like that. I'm too busy sipping my wine and...
I don't drink wine. Out,
sipping my whatever you drink.
Volunteer wine.
Sipping my volunteer vodka and, you know, being fancy.
No, I had a birthday party I had to go to.
Mm.
Shouldn't be so insecure about it.
Well, you people that go to birthday parties can stick in your own little clique.
Hour two, over. Hour three, coming your way. We got headlines, this or that. Turning left with Cam Black. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.